Sean Bajani and Clint Sterner are live at Twin Peaks on the 290, and the drive is live.
Yeah, we are. We're live. Like you said, you heard the big, well, you hear the big voice man several times, but you just heard the big man.
Yeah.
The big man, Patrick Creighton. We're up at Twin Peaks off 290. It is a football Friday. Big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for making this happen all year long, as well as our Houston area Ford dealers, in particular, Tomball Ford. I believe we've got a Tomball Ford giveaway today. It is a free oil change up at Tomball Ford. Do we have two of them? I think I pushed I pushed last week's over. What'd y'all do? Did you use it? You used it. Apparently, the Tomball Ford oil change is big time. I've been up to the dealership while you're waiting on that oil to get changed. If you so choose to get out of your rig, I'm telling you, man, they got a big lounge upstairs. They got game rooms. They got massage chairs. They got all kind of stuff going on up there. Overall, big shout out to our Houston Ford dealers and our Academy Sports and Outdoors all around the city of Houston for making this happen. As I say that, we've also, if you show up today, come on by, man. I know there's a lot of people that are off today. Get out of the house. We got plenty of action here at Twin Peaks, as Patrick Creighton mentioned multiple times, the scenic views. I believe we got a third quarter game right here, Rice 7, Texas State 17, little in-state matchup here. In the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Got third quarter just cranking up. But we've got four Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. We've got Area 45. Speaking of, we got Sean Bajani in the house.
Let's go.
The Area 45 glass, commemorative glass that we have here. That oil change we'll give away. Do we have tickets today, boys? Do we have tickets? We'll let you know if I got the Texans-Colts tickets or not. We'll let you know that here.
I'm going to get me a glass.
Here, yeah, get you a glass. Your face is on it, man. I'll let you know that here. We got a big show lined up for you today. As you know, we got Texans Colts noon on Sunday. We got the injury reports are big news right now, with the Texans approaching this game as a all hands on deck, got to win situation. Still an outside shot that you can win the division for the Texans, assuming you beat the Colts and the Titans beat the Jaguars. That's the big one there. They play at the same time this week. So, again, you will not know whether you have a legit chance to win the division or not. So, D'Amico Ryans is handling this thing all hands on deck. What will the roster look like? Who will be active? Who will be inactive? Who's hurt? Who's not? We will keep you posted on that. Sunday night football is a big one for all of us here in Houston as well. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, more than likely, Sean, hell, it may be locked in stone, but I know at least more than likely that will be where the Texans head in the first round of the playoffs, assuming they get the 5 seed, assuming that, obviously not assuming, one of those teams has to win that division. It's all on the line Sunday night, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, whichever one wins is where right now it looks like the Texans will go.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of an update there with their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, as well. We'll have that for you. But we got to start, boys. We have got to start with the madness in college football.
Let's have tickets.
We do have tickets. We got tickets.
Yes.
Anytime we're giving away tickets, boys, they typically come storming in. We got Texans-Colts tickets that we will be raffling off. If you're in the building, get you a raffle ticket. Put it in the box right there. In the 5 o'clock hour, now you got to stick around and drink a lot of beer, but in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be giving away those tickets. But throughout the show today, we will be giving away the gift cards along with the oil change. So come on through, grab you a cold beer right now. They are, 30.5 degrees.
I can attest.
I don't know if that's going to scare
you.
You already had one?
I did.
You had a little one. You rat, you.
I got to work today.
You and Tyler Milner on those little beers, man. I tell you what. Coming from a guy, by the way, I'm going dry January. Dry January for this guy right here.
Are you?
Proved to myself that I can do it. I'm going dry January.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, because I want to. Because it's a little bit of a challenge, and I want to see if I still got it in the bag.
I'm going to wait until college football season's over. Come on.
No, I don't want to wait till it's easy, Sean. Anything is when something's easy, baby. You got to. I mean,
come on.
Hey, man. It's when adversity strikes. Is when your true color, your true character shows.
And this
is adversity of a lot of football, a lot of action, Twin Peaks, cold beers flowing everywhere. Can I resist it? I held off from my wife last night in the drinking category. I did not drink any wine. She had a little wine with our New Year's dinner, and I held off. So I'm one day in the books here. But there was madness on the college football landscape. And I'm going to tell you, man, I know there's a lot of complaints about the college football playoffs right now. I know there is. The two teams that got in that nobody wanted to see play early on in Tulane and James Madison. Totally get it. The seeding of Ole Miss, even though they lost their coach, they were seeded number six. They kind of got a little bit of a boost from a seeding perspective. The mess and the drama that is the transfer portal and coaches leaving, the timing of all that, I get it, man. But right now what we're watching and what we watched this weekend, or not this weekend, but what we watched over New Year's Eve and New Year's Day was absolutely priceless. It was absolutely beautiful. It could not have been any better. New Year's Eve, the Miami Hurricanes stunned the Ohio State Buckeyes 24-14. On New Year's Day, Oregon shut out Texas Tech 23-0. I hated to see it. I wanted to see Tech, one of our in-state schools here. I wanted to see them play better and win that game. But
Told them they had a football game that
day.
Yeah,
it was a game that left, to be honest with you, it was 23-0, Oregon beat them, but it was a game that left a lot to be desired. Indiana absolutely skull-drug Bama start to finish 38-3, and Ole Miss shocked Georgia late last night 39-34. I must have fat-fingered
that thing. 39-34.
Oh, that's right.
The safety
at the end. Yeah. You're right. 39-34 in a thrilling shootout. And I'm telling you, man, everything that the college football playoff sets out to offer all of us as a fan, you saw it over the two-day stretch of those four games. That was absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to tell you what the most beautiful thing is, where we landed the Final Four in college football, the semifinals in college football, where we landed is Miami, who hasn't won a national title since 2001. So are they back or are they not? Appears to be back, right? Oregon never won a national title. Indiana never won a national title. And Ole Miss has never won a national title. So the odds of you getting a first-time natty winner are extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which it all unfolded is absolutely beautiful. I believe every one of these quarterbacks are products of a transfer portal at one time or another. I believe Dante Moore was early on in his career before he transferred to Oregon. But everybody else, including him, all of them, I believe, are products of the transfer portal. The parity, where I'm going with this, the parity in college football right now is in a place that it's never been. And I'm going to talk more about this moving on. As an Arkansas Razorback, as a former player, as an alumni from the Razorbacks, it's never been easier for you to close a gap between that level school, if you will, and the big dogs. And there's no more I've been saying this for years. I said it with COVID. I said it with transfer portal. I said it with NIL. It's never been easier. There's never been more of an opportunity for you to embrace what college football is about and close the gap between you and all the powers that be. And I'm talking to 75, 80, 85, maybe even 90% of college programs out there that are in Division I right now. There's never been a bigger opportunity for you to close that gap. And if you didn't believe me the last 2 years that I've been talking about it, then look at the college football playoffs right now. Look at the Final Four, and it'll tell you. Indiana, Ole Miss are two teams that embrace the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue Indiana hired a coach knowing he was going to bring 13 or 14 players with him.
Right.
They embrace the NIL. I'm telling you, man, we're going to talk about this throughout the show because the Indiana story is one that you got to hear about. I did not know a lot of the details until reading up on it this morning. It's not just about a great coach. It's not just about transfer. This is a great plan. The blueprint is special. But, Sean, let's talk a little bit about the games themselves. And look, it's not real radio friendly to go into the details of every game. So let's start here. Who were you most impressed with? And I'm gonna limit you to two choices here. Ole Miss or Indiana? Ole Miss, remember, shootout last night with Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia looked to be on a whole different level. Indiana, not real sure what the Ohio State game meant, but then they went out there and blew the doors off of Alabama. Who were you more impressed with?
It was going to be Indiana until Ole Miss played last night. I tell you I like Trinidad Chambliss. Mm-hmm. I think he's awesome. I want to hear from you what kind of NFL prospect you think he may be, because that dude's got some massive stones for what he showed me last night. Just kept coming and coming and coming against Georgia. But I got to go Ole Miss because of just that, the resilience they showed. Yeah. And towards the end of that game, I thought the best team flexed their muscle. I mean, Kirby Smart Great coach, great program. He's been doing it and there for a long time, what, 9, 10, 11 years, whatever it's been. I think you have to look at Ole Miss as a legitimate, like, they're not going to say title favorite, but maybe the second best team in the country right now behind Indiana because they're number one. I totally understand why Lane Kiffin's got this clause in his contract now at LSU. Like, yeah. I'm here. I'm a Tiger. Go Tigers. But if Ole Miss wins the title, I get money. I get a bonus. I can totally see why because that is a really badass team.
Yeah, look, it's hard not to go with Ole Miss, right? Because Ole Miss, who are you most impressed with, Ole Miss or Indiana? It's hard to not go Ole Miss because Ole Miss did it with their backup quarterback and their backup head coach, right? All kind of let's call it distractions, to put it nicely, over the last 2 or 3 weeks of football, losing their head coach. They got, I believe I read this morning, they got 6 offensive coaches that are back coaching Ole Miss that are actually going to be at LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, you want to talk about how, we're going to talk about this later too, how much of a mess the NCAA is. That those coaches, the portal opens.
Yeah.
The portal opens in like 2 days, whenever, in a couple days, whatever. And we still don't know if those coaches are going to stay with Ole Miss or not.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is
that?
Well,
I wonder if the win last night maybe sways their mind a little bit.
Well, the win last night put them in a position to have to make a decision, right? Yeah. I mean, you go into that game, you're like, hey, if we lose, it doesn't matter, but if we win, we're going to make that. But now it's a never-ending distraction, but it looks like they handle it well. But it's hard to not go with Ole Miss, man, because when you look at Ole Miss, again, it's a backup quarterback that is this is a storybook ending to a career. Come out of Division II, balled out at Division II, and then comes in here, was going to, like, literally made his decision to go to Ole Miss knowing there was a 4 or 5 star. I can't remember what the older kid or the bigger, stronger, faster kid, what his rating was.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he was behind him. He comes here anyway expecting to kind of be a package guy and maybe do some different things. And
Yeah. Boom,
starter gets hurt, insert Chambliss, and Chambliss goes on to have a stranglehold on the starting position. Pete Golding takes the head coach job. You look at that as like, boy, there's a knee-jerk reaction to Lane Kiffin leaving. Well, not so fast, because it looks like Pete Golding has handled this and got his team ready and kept the guardrails on the program up there in a way that you at least got to respect. And so I lean Ole Miss, but I'm going to tell you, man, What Indiana has done, and again, we're going to lean into Indiana a little bit more deeper in the show. But what Indiana's done, I'll put it to you this way. In less than 2 calendar years, what Cignetti has done is not just fielded a team that can win. He's taken one of the worst football programs in America historically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's not my opinion. That's just historical.
Right, yeah.
And it with inside 2 calendar years, he has fielded a team that is bigger, faster, stronger, more disciplined, more well-coached, more together than Ohio State and Alabama.
Strong. Yeah.
I mean,
last night.
This is not just winning football, y'all. This the fact that this cat has done this in such a quick way. And, again, it's not just about him. It's about the entire organization. And it is extremely fascinating. Okay, who are you most impressed with? I'm with you. I'm going to go Ole Miss. I was really impressed with both. Why
here's
I asked the
question. In 2 weeks, that's legitimately going to be a question between those two teams, in my opinion. We're on a crash course to see Ole Miss, Indiana, in the national title game.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we're looking at.
Well, it damn sure could happen because they're in the Final Four. On the other hand, who were you more disappointed in, Ohio State or Alabama? Let me remind you. Ohio State, they got stunned by Miami 24-14, and Alabama got absolutely skull-drugged by Indiana, who looks to be the most complete team in college football, not just in the playoffs, but in college football, 38-3. Who were you more disappointed in?
I mean, Alabama didn't even show up, man. Look, that's what a great program and a great coach like can make teams look like, but come on, man, Alabama – The hell that Kalen DeBoer's taken this season, like literally from out the chute, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season, it's been ridiculous. They had a good, solid year. And it's a really good football team still, man. But it's not one of the 5 best. And I think that showed through yesterday in this game. Like, by the way, you might appreciate this. I don't know if you know. Do you ever Google yourself or, you know, just stat check yourself every once in a while? Do you know the last time that Alabama got their teeth kicked in this bad?
I do.
You did it to
him.
It
was your boy. Yeah.
You did it to him.
Yeah, man.
That's incredible.
42-6 was it. And I always thought, you know, I didn't realize that was – I always referred to it as the worst ass whooping they've had in the SEC. I didn't realize it was overall. So
yeah, that's a long time ago. Not saying that. What was that?
98.
Yeah,
1998.
Three touchdowns. Hell of a game by you. But look, for Alabama to not put up a fight, man. They looked defeated, in my opinion. You know, before half, and yeah. I understand that's what really good teams can make others look like. But you're Alabama, and you've got to look like you won it. And to me, they just did not. I thought they looked undisciplined, and maybe that's the way that they've looked a lot of times this season. I don't watch a ton of them, but I was really disappointed in them.
Well, look, I'm gonna flip the script because I agree with you. I was disappointed. Again, it's why I asked the question. But I think they ran up against the absolute best team in college football. Mm-hmm. And so I put a little bit of stock in that. I'm going to go to the other side. I think Ohio State, when you bump up against Miami, a lot of people didn't believe Miami should even be in, right? And
now, I don't know why.
Then you watch Miami and A&M last week not being able to move the football. And look, tip the cap to A&M's defense and A&M's environment that you got to play in down there. But in this particular game, to me, the story was not Miami played up to Ohio State. I thought Ohio State played down. Not down is not the right way, but I felt like the expectations with Ryan Day, the expectations with a Heisman finalist quarterback, the expectations with, I believe, four players in the top 10 in all of college football and Heisman Trophy voting, the expectation is for that team to show up and put their best product out there.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe that Ohio State did that, losing 24-14, and to be honest with you, offensively, with the exception of a couple of big plays, I didn't think offensively they ever really got rolled. Obviously, they didn't. They lost to Miami, but
yeah,
I just thought it left a lot to be desired for a program that is super stable and still has all of its pieces. I think with Alabama, look, with Saban leaving, we're still like I think you got to look at year three.
Mm-hmm.
With the new coach and the new staff,
yeah.
Because year one and year two, you're playing with Saban's guys. Saban developed those guys. Sure. Saban brought those guys in. Ty Simpson is the Saban guy.
But he's a great coach. He's a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like
oh, yeah.
When you don't have that guy anymore, yeah. there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. It doesn't mean it's the new guy's fault.
Right. Well, it goes back to the Lane Kiffin. I was telling somebody the story about watching that Lane Kiffin Untold or Lane Kiffin E60 or whatever it was the other day. When Lane Kiffin took over for Pete Carroll and got it popped Reggie Bush, lost 30 scholarships, and he went on the first 2 years he was there. He won a bunch of games, mm-hmm. and everybody thought he should do that. Well, the third year is when your problems become your problem, right? He dealt with Pete Carroll's people.
Yeah, that's right.
They were all developed. They were mature. They were together. Well, all of a sudden, year three, 30 scholarships you're missing, and you being mm-hmm. the guy was a different story. And he got canned. Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen at Alabama, but that is year three is going to be the one that's more telling of what Alabama looks like post-Saban than necessarily what we've seen mm-hmm. the previous 2 years. All right, the Texans, they can still win the division, y'all, with a little bit of help from the Titans, but they got to do their part first. What's the injury report look like as of today? I'm telling you, it's looking better. We'll break that down next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Twin Peaks off 290, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. We are at Twin Peaks up off 290. Come on by, baby. There's five lodges around the city. As I said, we are at 290. If you can come on by here, we'd love to see you. Come on through, cuss and discuss all what's going on in the sporting world in and around the beautiful city of Houston. Or if you can't get here, get to one of the Twin Peaks, the nearest Twin Peaks. As I said, there's five of them around the city. And if you're hearing this, there's one right around the corner. The scenic views are as good in 2026 as they were in 2025, y'all. Come on through. Let's have a good time. Big shout out to Sean Bajani. Sean Bajani for joining us today. Ron, the show, Hughley is off. Spent a little time with his family. And Big C, is he double dutying?
Well, he did half of the In the Loop show.
Okay.
We got him for the whole thing today.
Okay, so. I was fixing to say, damn, that's a little old.
Sorry to tell me before the show, I'm tired. I'm like, dude, you're 24.
Yeah,
shut up.
Yeah, man. Super producer Colin. Talk to me when you're knocking on 50, Chief.
That was indie trolling, Colin, by the way.
All right, y'all.
That sucks.
The Texans can still win the division, y'all, but they need a little bit of help from the Titans. And so here's the deal: the Texans and the Colts, they kick off at the same time as the Titans and the Jaguars do this Sunday. It's a noon kickoff. And so the only way to approach this game is you got to handle your business. And the Texans are approaching it with all hands on deck approach. And here's the most recent injury report for the Texans. The last time I was on air, we had the Wednesday report. Then we were off on Thursday. Now here we on Friday. This is the final practice today for the Texans. We have not seen that final report yet, right?
No, it should be coming down here any minute.
It should be coming down the pike any minute, but I do want to update you on what Thursday's report looked like. Did not practice Kamari Lassiter. Limited in practice Azeez Al-Shaair, Derek Stingley, Ed Ingram, Trent Brown, Nico Collins, Sheldon Rankins, and Denico Autry. A full participant in practice was Ariante Ursary. Now, I think we got to look at this a couple ways. There's a lot of information there. There's a lot of veteran players at this time of year need a little bit of rest. Sure, they may be a little bit nicked up, but it's probably more about rest. Nico Collins, he's come out and said, ain't nothing wrong with him. It's right. Just rest. Mm-hmm. But you look at some of the other guys, maybe a little banged up and just need another day of rest. They're veterans, so they trust them and played a lot of football in this system, and so they trust those guys, right? But I think the best way to look at this, Sean, is the O-line and the corners. I think last week, as you know, if you watch the Texans game, you had Titus Howard had to move to right. Both of your tackles were out. So Titus Howard, your left guard, had to move to right tackle. Jarrett Patterson had to come in off the bench to play left guard. And Blake Fisher, your sixth tight end in your jumbo packages, had to play that left tackle position. So I think all eyes are on what's going on with Ariante Ursary and what's going on with Trent Brown. Good news is Ariante Ursary traveled last week with the team, so he was obviously close.
Right.
And here we sit on at least looking at yesterday's injury report. Ariante Ursary did practice and was a full participant. Trent Brown was a limited participant. Looks like one of those guys may be all the way back in the fold, and Trent Brown is well on his way. We'll see what today's report says. But those two guys, along with, can't forget this because it's a big one, arguably the best offensive lineman the Texans have had all year from an advanced statistics standpoint anyway, Ed Ingram.
Ingram, yeah.
Was limited as well. So that O-line is something to keep an eye on as we discuss injury reports.
Yeah, Ingram has been limited the other 2 days this week, and we'll see what his status was today. But I worry a little bit less about that and really – both Ursary and Ingram, because the way that I'm approaching it, we're still like inside two weeks away from Ursary having metal put in his hand, from having surgery, okay? It hadn't been a long time. I wonder if yesterday was a little bit more of a trial run to see what that feels like, because at some point in time, he's going to have to go out there and test it. And maybe that was yesterday. You got to do that in practice before you do it in a game. I would be actually really surprised if Ariante Ursary and Ed Ingram played on Sunday.
Played or didn't play?
Played. And I would say any significant amount of time that Ingram is on a field on Sunday, I would be really surprised. I don't know why for the Texans you can't just go into Sunday's game against the Colts the way that you had to adjust against the Chargers this past weekend, right? Because you're trying to get these guys as healthy as possible for a playoff run. You're in the playoffs. You're not going anywhere. You're in. I'd go with Fisher. I'd go with Patterson, Andrews, Scruggs, and Howard. That would be my offensive line going into Sunday.
Well, we're going to have to discuss that later on in the show. I do have a little bit of how comfortable are you with the Texans. Clearly, Sean Bajani is really comfortable given that take right there. The other one, other than the O-line, is the corners. The reality of it is, as we saw last week, look, I love Tremont Smith as a special teams, as a guy, as a depth outside corner. And by the way, everybody out there, when I talk about cover corners, wants to throw Jalen Petrie in the mix. Just set this one out if you don't mind, because you clearly don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. At the end of the day, you got two starting corners on this team, and both of them are banged up, right? And I'm not quote-unquote worried about either one of them, to be honest with you. We've seen them play some of their best football through injuries. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is you've got Derek Stingley Jr., who this rib injury, hip injury, oblique injury, yeah, whatever the hell it is, has been a problem all season long. And when it sneaks up on you, boom, he's off the field. And now you got Tremont Smith out there, and you saw last week what happened. Immediately the Chargers went after him a couple of different times. One of them was a big-time throw. And so there's clearly a big drop-off between your two-corner and your three-corner. And, mm-hmm, and then you look at Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter, they got his knee and his foot. He's got all kind of issues on his lower leg. I don't know which leg it is. It doesn't matter. But clearly he's banged up as well. To me, to your point about the O-line, if you're going to rest anybody because you've given yourself a little bit of grace with your positioning right now, Kamari Lassiter is the one that you just can't afford to get injured. You can't afford to make this thing any worse. But it's about O-line and it's about the cornerbacks with the Texans as we move forward. And by the way, these reports on the injury report to me are just as much about the playoffs as they are this game versus the Colts.
The viewing portion, you know, available to the media today, they practiced inside. I saw Jonathan Alexander's report earlier this morning that he did not see Kamari Lassiter. And so take into consideration, like, this is the first time you've not seen Kamari Lassiter on a Friday practice all season long.
Yeah.
Probably not going to play. Do you need him to play? I say no. Just like I said, you know, Ursary and Ingram, I'm going to be as fully healthy as possible going into the postseason, and the Texans have that benefit to them.
Yeah.
You know, the other benefit they have to them is that they are not a Kamari Lassiter, an Ariante Ursary, or an Ed Ingram away from being better than the ass Indianapolis Colts.
Okay. Yeah.
Who, by the way, are going to be without Sauce Gardner and their tight end this weekend as well.
Well, I was just fixing to go there from a Colts injury report perspective. I know there were some reports earlier in the week that potentially Sauce Gardner could play this week versus the Texans. I don't know why they would even entertain it. It's already bad enough given that he got injured immediately when he stepped on the field the first time. This is one of those get him healthy and hope next year that trade actually makes sense for you. So no surprise there, but no Sauce Gardner this week. I'm Clint Stern alongside Sean Bajani. We are out at Twin Peaks off 290. Come on through and hang out. There's plenty of room to beer. 27.3 degrees. It was 30 degrees when I looked over there last time. 27.3. So it is cold, folks. Come on through and enjoy. We got a little Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl going as well. Texas State is thumping Rice with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter here. But two Texas schools going at it right there. The Astros, they add a starting pitcher on New Year's Eve. Where does he fit in the rotation? How big of an add was this? We'll tell you that, who it was, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Twin Peaks off 290, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in and is picking up a little bit over here at Twin Peaks, y'all. We're off 290. If you can't get here, get down to the nearest location. There's five of them around the city. Big shout out to all of our Houston area Ford dealers for making it happen. Big shout out to Tomball Ford. We will be giving away a Tomball Ford oil change here in the show, as well as Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. We got four of them. We'll be giving those away, as well as Texans Colts tickets on Sunday. You can still get a pair of tickets to go to that game. You got to be here in person to win the tickets. You got to be here in person to win anything for that matter. Stop on through. If you're in the building, put your name in this white raffle box right here. It's not your name. Get a raffle ticket right here in this white box, and we'll start pulling here in the next break. We'll start giving a few things away as we roll along here. Again, big shout-out to Academy Sports and Outdoors and our Houston area Ford dealers, along with Tomball Ford, for making this thing happen. It is a football Friday, but we got to change gears briefly because – on New Year's Eve, I believe it was it Eve or Day, Sean? When this signing happened?
Oh God! Last 2 days, I think it was yesterday.
Tatsuya
Imai.
Imai. Tatsuya Imai. Imai. 3-year, $54 million deal, up to $63 million deal with an opt out after every year. This is big on I think a couple of different fronts for those that fan for the Astros. In to this degree, right, is one, everybody, every fan I've talked to said hey, man, the Astros got to make a move before the year starts. They've got to get, they got to bring in some more help in the starting rotation. Well, they brought in some help.
Yeah.
What at least is believed to be some help, a top three arm in the rotation at the very least. And not only did they do that, but they put a deal together here that may be a little bit outside Jim Crane's, not comfort zone, but what he typically what he typically doles out here. So
right. He's never done it before with this opt-out contract.
Yeah, I think and you one could look at it because, look, this contract, three-year, $54 million, up to $63 million. I mean, this guy was a prospect that was projected by The Athletic to receive like an eight-year, $190 million contract, and somehow he lands with the Astros on a three-year, up to $63 million deal. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is – or let me ask you this. I mean, I know you cover the team and you cover this kind of thing really closely. I mean, how big of a deal is this in your mind for the Astros to bring this pitcher in?
It's huge because it presents more questions in the sense that, okay, what were you going to do with Jake Meyers this offseason? Maybe trade him for pitching. What were you thinking about doing with Isak Paredes this offseason? Maybe trade him for pitching and some, you know, prospects,
yep,
maybe even Christian Walker. So, like, maybe it quells that in terms of, like, what the Astros are thinking, or at least at the very least asking in return for any one of those three, whether it be Meyers, Paredes, or Walker, or whoever they had in mind as guys that maybe they would consider dealing. But in terms of building a rotation, like, it gives them a 1-2-3 and slot them however you want to. Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, and Tatsuya Imai. They went and got Mike Burrows too. You still got Spencer Arrighetti and Lance McCullers in the mix, and then some new dudes and some familiar faces like Colton Gordon, AJ Blueball, Ronel Blanco, Hayden Wisniewski that could come back, you know, later this summer. But it gives them options. It gives them flexibility, and I think it should give the fans confidence. Because a lot of things happened here. One, the Astros have never dipped their toe into this market before, right? Now, they've done the whole reclamation project, right? Remember two regular seasons ago, they went out and got the fellow from the Toronto Blue Jays who ended up going to the damn Dodgers because everybody goes to the Dodgers. God bless, why am I forgetting his name?
Kikuchi?
Kikuchi. You say...
How did you forget Kikuchi?
Yeah, I don't know why I forgot that.
I'll be honest with me. You could have given me a description of any other player that stopped in for 1 year and then went to Dodgers, and I did not have it. Kikuchi,
because you like his last name.
Forget.
Who doesn't love his last name?
That went without being said, but yeah, go ahead.
But they've never done this in the free agent market, right? They've never dipped their toe here. And, oh, by the way, you know, the deal that Imai gets from the Astros is, I think, top three in terms of Japanese pitchers AAV that Major League Baseball teams have ever signed any of those guys to. The AAV here, I think, is like just over $18 million, right? The Tim Britton projection, which, like, that's always fun. What does this tell you? If Tim Britton of The Athletic projected 8 years, $190 million, and the Astros give this guy 3 years, $54 million, the AAV is about $5 million a year off, but teams want to see, like, okay, is this guy's secondary pitch is going to mix really well? Is it going to transfer to Major League Baseball? He can throw the ball hard as hell. He's 95 to 100. But is his slider, changeup, splitter mix, is that going to work well in Major League Baseball? To me, this is a huge get for the Astros because they can get any pitcher, and I feel really good about this baseball team reinvigorating – figuring out how to work his arsenal best within what we do. The Astros have been pitching ninjas the last 10 years. It's been fantastic.
Well, the shorter contract as well, it fits with kind of where the Astros are right now in terms of getting up there in age with Altuve and some of these other guys. And so, you know, I think it's just a good fit with the Astros anyway. I mean, he'll land somewhere in the top three in the rotation with Christian Javier. Obviously, Hunter Brown at the top, but Christian Javier or him in the 2 and 3 hole there. This is I chuckled at this a bit because I hope this isn't where we land, but or maybe I'll be honest with you. I hope Lance McCullers is good enough where this is where we land. But
yeah.
Fox Sports MLB had the Astros projected rotation as Brown, Javier,
Imai,
McCullers, and Burrows.
Yeah.
And the McCullers part of it is kind of where I chuckle. There's so many arms that you could pick to land in that 4 and 5 spot. Yeah. McCullers seems to be one that, hell, he may end up in the bullpen. I don't know what he's going to be. But nonetheless, how do you think this thing unfolds with the Astros rotation, starting rotation, if you had to take a stab at it right now?
Well, look, you know, keep in mind, too, like the national people,
yeah,
they're also looking at McCullers as, hey, they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're paying him a lot of money. So you slot him in there. If he's healthy, he's going to have every opportunity, again, because they're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah.
So beyond that, you do have options. Keep this in mind. You know, I mentioned Spencer Arrighetti.
That Spencer's the one for me, Sean. Like, I don't, and I may be out over my skis here, but just covering the Astros, watching the Astros closer than I ever have over the last 4 or 5 years, like, I don't know how a five-man rotation with the Astros happens and that doesn't include Spencer Arrighetti.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I'm with you. People forget just how good this guy's been for some reason. I know the injury, you know, the freak thing where, you know, he's broke his finger and
playing
in the
left, outfield. Long toss in left field when the Mariners were taking back.
And all of a sudden, it's like somebody chopped his leg off like they did Kyle Tucker, and he's out for 3.5 months. Like, what the heck's going on? But the guy had a really good second half finish for the Astros. And so it's like, okay, you know the guy's got it, okay? He's a good, you know, back of the rotation guy. If you have to slot him in, if he's your number three going forward, you know, fine. But they have options. They have a boatload of dudes that could slot in from 3, 4, 5, whether it be Nate Pearson or the guy they picked off, Ryan Weiss from the KBO earlier this offseason. He has a lot to prove. You know, he had a really good year at the KBO last year, but you got to be able to do it at the major league level. Let's see. AJ Blueball. People have been talking about him for 2 to 3 years. He's one of their prospects. He's going to get an opportunity. What does he do with it this spring training, this regular season? We'll find out. But, again, I told PC this last year. This could be an embarrassment of riches, dude. You know, you get to the portion of, like, June, July, August, and you're talking about Ranel Blanco maybe coming back. Hayden Wisniewski should be coming back.
I can't do it, Sean. I can't do it again. I tried to live that life as an Astros fan and just go, yeah, man, we're deep when these guys come back. When these guys come back, they bring them all back early and their elbows blow up again. Like, I can't bank on that.
Don't hold your breath to the degree that you've had to the last couple of years. I'm just saying what this move does, it gives you a little bit of flexibility to not hold it
sure.
as deep. Okay.
Sure. You meant one part of the Astros signing this starting pitcher, top three in the rotation, is you mentioned obviously that opens the door to potentially still see Isak Paredes and potentially Jake Meyers a little bit safer at least to be in the lineup this year versus being moved to bring in an arm. How does this lineup strike you right here? Pena leading things off, Altuve in the 2-hole, Correa in the 3-hole, Yordan Alvarez in the 4-hole. Hey, shake those up however the hell you I take it back. Paredes in the 5-hole. So shake those 5 up however you want. Personally, I would put Paredes in the 2-hole behind Pena and move Altuve down, but that's where I'm at. Yiner Diaz, Cole Myers, and Cam Smith in that lineup. Then the lineup point is not getting into deep conversation about the lineup. The point is that lineup looks like it's coming together and could be pretty salty if you don't have to move. So, because I know there's a couple of guys that I didn't even mention in there that could work into the mix there.
You got Walker in there, right? Yeah. Christian Walker.
Christian Walker's not even in there. That's Paredes, you know, is playing first base.
You know
Christian
why?
Because Skywalker.
Thank you. You have him traded. That's why. In your subconscious, you have the Astros trading Christian Walker, which is what I would love for them to be able to do. And I think it's a possibility. It's just how much money you're going to be willing to eat. You got Paredes in there. Is Paredes going to be playing first base?
Yeah, that's what this is just a particular lineup that I saw that, I mean, I grabbed. I mean, Walker may be in there, may not. My overall point is, I like the way you took it and ran with the trade right there, and I'd be fine with that too.
But pushing the hell out of that one.
the overall point is, if you can keep, you know, Paredes in particular, but definitely Jake Meyers as well. If you can keep those guys in that lineup, then, and Jake can continue to do what he was doing last year, right? Then this lineup could be pretty damn salty with that starting lineup. We'll see.
It could.
It's we got a long way to go before we get to a point where these conversations have any level of substance. But the Astros do sign an arm that'll be at the top of the rotation somewhere in and around Hunter Brown. So. That's good news on the Astros front. All right, the blueprint that Indiana and really Texas Tech to a certain degree have laid out there, it's put enormous pressure on ADs and head coaches around the country, in my opinion, right? The blueprint is there. What's your next move? I'll explain next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Katsuya Ime.